me. A sinner will be taken away, and the teacher will just take his place. So that is number one evil. Two, the one who claims that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him Salatul Fati. He said, if you read one Salatul Fati, is equal to the one who has recited the Quran 6,000 times. It's a crazy statement. One Salatul Fati equals 6,000 Quran. So this is enough not to reach that Salatul Fati. Apart from that, it is also said in the book Jawahirul Ma'ani that all the salawat being done since Allah created the universe were not to match Salatul Fati, one Salatul Fati. Look at this evil again. So the one who claimed it said he received this from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the state of wakefulness. But you know, the problem of a lot of us is that we are innocent followers, ignorant followers. If you go back to the book Salatul Fati or Al-Ifadatul Ahmadiyya by this Tijaniya, Salatul Fati is not meant for every Tom, Dick and Harry. It's meant for those who belong to that sect. According to what Ahmad Tijani said, it is when you belong to that sect that you are given permission to recite Salatul Fati. Because he said he was given this honor above all other Sufi sects. So Prophet Allah Salam came and gave him this above all other. So why are you reading it? Are you a member? Are you a Tijaniya? You are not a Tijani, why are you reading Salatul Fati? It's not meant for you. Even their claim is that if you read it, it will not work for you. That's their own claim. So Salatul Fati is not okay. However, there is a Salat of Ali radhiyallahu anhu that looks, you know, close to Salatul Fati, but not in every angle agrees with Salatul Fati. We read Salatul Nabi by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. You see the Salawat at the end of the, before the end of the book. But this is the evil of Salatul Fati. It should be avoided. Allahu Alam.
Please, let me ask for, so as to clarify this question. Were you once a Tijaniya?
I?
Yes.
Well, I never belonged to Tijaniya, really.
Okay.
But I only passed through. I had somebody who used to be a mentor. So he was a Tijaniya. He introduced me to Tijaniya. So from there, but when I saw that I was just, they only practice rubbish. So I did not even use up to a month there before I left.
Okay, the questioner asked, you were once a Tijani, or you belonged to a sect before. Why did you leave it? So you have answered now.
Yeah.
I just want to confirm whether I was once a Tijani or not, so as to make you know the relevance of the question. No. Someone asked that I just want to know whether the hadith where the Prophet said whoever sees him in the dream really sees true picture of him, because shaitan can imitate him.
That's authentic hadith. But how do you know that you've seen the person Allah Salaam? For instance, now if you see your brother or your father or your mother in dream, you know that you've seen your brother, your father, your mother, because you know them before. But the person, you didn't know him. So when you say anything appears to you and say, I'm Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would you know that it is Muhammad? What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is that shaitan will not come with his surah and not claim that I'm Muhammad. Being in the surah of Muhammad, that will not happen. So shaitan can come in the surah of anybody to deceive anybody. But bringing the surah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not say I'm Muhammad, that will not happen. But for you to say, for you to be sure that you have seen Muhammad, you have to know the attributes of Muhammad, the description of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you read Ash-Shamail al-Muhammadiyya of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, you know the details about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if what you see in dream is in conformity with what you have read in authentic hadith concerning the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you've seen Muhammad. Now when you see Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of what benefit is it to us? Are you going to change the Sharia, or you are going to add to the Sharia? So if you see Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in dreams, there are people who have seen him in the state of wakefulness, the companions. Even there are people who saw him in the state of wakefulness, like Abu Jahl, like Abu Lahab. Yet he never benefited him. And this refutes the claim of some of the Mashaikh or the Shuyukh of Sufia that say, whoever sees me, such a person is not going to enter hellfire. Huh? What about the one who saw Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and is going to be in hellfire forever? No talk of you. Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, they saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you are going to be in hellfire forever. Wallahu A'lam.
Someone asked that as a Muslim who believes in Al-Ghayb, is it permissible to believe those people that use sand to see what will happen in the future? Perhaps the person wants to explain himself better. He then writes, "Ohun ti mo gba lero ni awon to nte epe ti won fi mo ohun ti o sele."
No, it's not right. Prophet Allah Sallam said that whoever consults a soothsayer, Allah will not accept his prayer for 40 days. This is Sahih Muslim. So in Trimidi, Prophet Allah Sallam said, Man ata arrafan aw kainan aw ata imratan fi duburiya.
He said, "Arrafan, aw kainan, fasadakhuh bima yaqul, fakad kafara."
Then, "Man ata kainan aw arrafan, fasadakhuh bima yaqul, fakad kafara bima nuzila ala Muhammadin." Then they report, "Man ata kainan aw imratan fi duburiya, fakad kafara bima nuzila ala Muhammadin." Whoever approaches a kahin, or whoever sleeps with a woman, fiduburiya, through her anus, faqad kafara bima nuzila ala Muhammadin. Such a person has disbelieved in what Allah revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the report of Trimizi. Now, this shows that the person, not that he has disbelieved completely, but he has done kufru amali. So, but what we are saying in essence is that it is haram for one to consult a soothsayer. Whether the person is making use of the subah, or is making use of the Quran. You know, some people, they will open the Quran. They will say, okay, when they open any place in the Quran, they will look at this, the right hand side, the right side of the Quran. They will count the ha, 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 there. If the ha, ha, there are more than, they will look at the left, they will look at the shin, 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 there. If the ha ha here are more than the shin shin here, that means it is khair, it is good. If the shin are more than the khair, it means it is shar. Look at this. So anyone you use, everything is what? Is wrong. Huh? So it is haram for one to do that. Wallahu alam.
The person asks, how can one know, how do one know abrogated verses or abrogated hadith?
To know that, you have to move close to the scholars, reading their works, reading a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With this, you can know which one came first, which one came last, which one is the abrogator, which one is the abrogated. Allahu alam.
Can someone renounce Islam in a situation whereby if he maintains his deen, he will be killed? So can someone renounce it, and by the time he is free, he now says that Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim?
Yes, he can do that. If he's being threatened with death, he can do that. Just like Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu did. As Imam al-Tabari rahmahullah ta'ala recorded in his tafsir, that Ammar ibn Yasir was being punished by his masters, those who purchased him, and they asked him to disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When his punishment was too much, his father, his mother, both of them had been killed. So he had to abuse Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But after that, he started, you know, regretting doing that, and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I have disbelieved. First Allah said, كَيْفَ تَجِدْ نَفْسَكَ? How do you see yourself? He said, مُتْمَئِنَّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. He said, my soul is filled of iman. First Allah says, in عَادُوا فَعُدْ. If they go back to punishing you, go back to saying what you said. So, this is permissible if one is confronted with death. However, it is also permissible for one to maintain one's grant. And it's killed. This is better. It's better. But the other one is also what? Good. So we have companions, a companion like that, that one of the rulers of the Kufar captured him, and they wanted to kill him. They stabbed him. He did not give them food. He did not give them anything. They asked them to disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he maintained, no, that he will not disbelieve. So this is also permissible in the deen. So it depends on the level of one's iman. And that's what Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ
وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ
صَدْرًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِيَ وَقَلْبُ مُتْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَأُولَئِكَ I cannot recollect the end of the verse. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَى بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعْلِمْ غَضَبْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Whoever is pleased with the kufr, then the person, there's the ghadab, the wrath of Allah upon such a person. But the one that is أُكْرِيَ وَقَلْبُ مُتْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ, but his heart is filled with iman. This verse was revealed concerning the case of Anar ibn Yasir. But Imam al-Tabari explaining this brought the story of Anar, Allahu Alam.
Someone asked, could one argue an argument with non-Muslims and a bracketed a Christian be regarded as useless argument with the motive of passing the message of Allah? For instance, when one is arguing with them concerning whether God exists in three in one or the like.
Now it may not be regarded as useless argument. It depends. If your intention is to guide him, that's a good argument. But if your intention is just, I will show you that, you know, I'm stronger, I will show you this, just for debate's sake, that is not allowed in the deen. A Muslim doesn't partake in such things.
Now, as we know that music is haram, but what did you see to some brothers, Al-Sunnah, that sell tickets, both Christians and Islamic singers, and even Fuji and hip-hop as well as some videos?
They are sinners for doing that. They are sinners. May Allah save us from this sickness.
Someone said, I've heard you say that it is not good to hold the Quran, the Mushaf, at the back of an imam while he is reciting. Can you give an evidence for this?
The evidence for that is that it is an act of ibadah. And the basis in act of ibadah is prohibition, except there is a text establishing otherwise. So, for you to hold the Quran while the Imam is reciting, who are your salaf in this? Who are your predecessors in this type of act? What you have evidence for is the Imam in Nawafil at times holding the Quran, as the Quran who holds the Quran, who lead Aisha radiallahu anha in Taraweeh. This is a Sahih Bukhari. So we have evidence for this. But for the Ma'amun to hold the Quran while the Imam is reciting, there is no evidence supporting this. Rather, this is confusion. Because if everybody is holding the Quran while the Imam is reciting, if the Imam does not recite well, I'm trying to correct him. So everybody will be trying to draw back the Imam. Maybe the Imam mistakenly wants to pronounce maybe Ayn, he say, if not this ah, you try to bring him back. No, it is time. And everybody is doing that in Salat. When will you leave the Salat? When will you finish your Salat? So that's why the scholars are against that. Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Al-Utsaimin, and many other scholars. No scholars supported that it is permissible for a ma'mum to hold the Quran behind the Imam. Allahu a'lam.
Someone asked you to comment on the hadith, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد.
The comment is, whoever does anything of this deen that the Prophet Allah, has not ordered us, it is rubbed, it is rejected. And once something is rejected, then is the person, the doer, is in danger. Allah rejects the deed of the kuffar. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَالسَّرَابٍ بِكِيَعَةٍ يَحْصَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. Those who disbelieve, their good deeds are just like mirage, that the one who is thirsty considered to be water. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاهُ. But when he gets there, لَمْ يَجِدْتُ شَيْئًا. He cannot find anything. فَوَجَدَ اللَّهِ عِنْدَ. He now finds Allah. فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابَهُ. Allah سَرِي الْحِسَابَ. So Inna miss Allah, and Allah now gives him recompense him fully. So if the Prophet Allah said, whoever does any act that you have not ordered him in this deen, for waradun, that means that act is what? Rejected. So what is the essence of doing things that will be rejected, that will cause you, you know, that will throw you into hellfire? And that's why the hadith is a thorn in the throat of the people of bid'ah, those who introduce a lot of things in the deen, nawafil and the like, you know, Sunday salatu, the tahajjud in jama'ah that ends the moon, things like this. All these things are baseless. So it is a thorn in the throat of these people. Wallahu a'lam.
Someone asked, is it right to say that the Prophet did not do some dua because he was not in a position to do it? Perhaps he was not pressed, he does not need it, then a situation does not arise for him to do such a dua. Like, for example, like, Olorun mo fe jeun ibi npa ni, just for example, or Olorun mo ni bi oko, things like that. Then in our own case, we are fakir, we are fukara to such things, whether of dunya or some other things. Can we say because the Prophet did not do this dua, because dua is ibadah, can we say because the Prophet did not do the dua, we should not do it?
There is difference between this and what is in saying. There is permission to make dua, but don't go overboard in your dua. So this is allowed in the deen, that you make dua, but don't go overboard in your dua. So, and that's why one of the companions, I think Sayyidina Abu Waqqas, said, saw his son who was praying, said, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah, as'aluka al-qasr al-abyad, yamin al-jannah, as'aluka kada wa kada. Oh Allah, I'm asking you white palace in the Jannah, in the right side of Al-Jannah. I'm asking so and so. So the father said, why hack? What to you? Why are you saying this? Prophet Allah Sallam has said that if you come, ya'taduna fi du'ai wa tuhur. They'll be going overboard in their du'a, and they'll be going overboard in their purification. I don't know if you are one of them. So, if you want to ask Allah Al-Jannah, not I'm asking Allah, oh Allah give me white palace in Al-Jannah. Why white palace? Do you know what Allah has prepared for you? So, going into details at times in your dua will be what? Going overboard. And that's why the fear of the Prophet Allah Islam is breathed and pregnant with meaning. But today, our own prayer is what? Detailed. And that's why you see, the kunut of the Prophet Allah Sallam is Allahumma ahdini fi man hadait, wa aafini fi man aafait, wa tawaffani, wa tawallani fi man tawallait, wa kini sharra ma qadwait, fa innaka takdu wa la yuqdu alayk, innahu la ya'izu man wa إنه لا يضل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت لا من جميلك إلا إليك. Just breathe. If you look at each force in this, you see that the earth is pregnant with meaning. But you now today, what do you do? Our kunut is 45 minutes. This is what Bida, and that's why scholars wrote book on Bida al kunut. The Bida in your kunut. You'll be repeating Allahumma sul muslimin bi kulli makan, in Afghanistan, in Palestine, in. You have said, oh Allah, since the Muslims everywhere, why the Palestinians, the Philistines, the Philistines? You are not giving the details. You have said, Fikulli Makan, everywhere. You now continue to repeat all this. You spend 25 minutes, 30 minutes, disturbing those who are behind you, who are supposed to go to Ruku. So this type of going overboard in the dua is, but for you, maybe you are in need of car. You ask Allah, give me a car. What is the problem with that? There's no problem with this. But going overboard in your dua is what should be avoided. Allahu a'lam. Someone asked that what is wrong or what can you say about some brothers whose ringing tone, their phones ringing tone, is music per se, music per excellence. What can you say to this? Now it depends. If the person has chosen from the available ringtones in the phone and he has chosen the one with the least evil, then la you can leave Allah in Afghan illa us.
What are you doing?
But if what he are choosing the most musical of these ringtones, then it's sinful for doing that. But if he goes for the one with the least evil of this, then it's better. If he can substitute that, maybe he can make his own ringtone, that is better. But he shouldn't fall into bidya. And the bidya is using the Quran as a ringtone. This is dangerous. A lot of us fall into this. You now make the Quran as, you do ihan of the Quran. So the Quran, even if a Christian is calling you, it's today that to be what? That they what is the meaning of that? You are using the Quran as a ringtone. Why? Why are you molesting the Quran in that way? Common sensically, this is not okay. Must you use Azan for your ringtone? No. Don't use Azan for your ringtone. Don't use the Quran for your ringtone. It is better you choose the least evil of all the ringtones available. Or if you get a better substitute, that is better. But for you to use the Quran or to use the Adhan as ringtone, scholars have spoken against that. Wallahu a'lam. Taslim is okay, but it may be confusing at times. If you are in Salah, for instance, now, and you say, As-salamu alaykum. So some people may think that the Imam has made Taslim and he made Taslim. So why should you be cautious concerning that as well?
No. What about some people use
okay. Well, it depends. There are people use like there is one Aderingo, picking up before I call. Well, it depends. That may be accepted if it does not go against the culture of the people. Well, at times people will just look down upon you. What is this rubbish? And what people say about you also matter. As long as the religion has not said you should do that thing or has recommended it, you should also respect your custom. For instance, maybe in our custom it is not okay for people to be eating on the street. Just you'll be walking on the street and you are licking orange, you are licking mango, you will just be look at this madman. But maybe some culture you don't see anything wrong in that. You don't say there is no hadith that says it is wrong for me to take orange on the street. Yes, there is no hadith, but don't let people look down upon you. You do things that your people also do. So in that case, if they do not see anything wrong in Idering, then you can make use of it. Allah Allah.
Someone asked that the hadith that the Prophet said, Ma amartukum bihi fatu minhu mastata'tum. Can such a hadith be used as an evidence for someone that seems to deviate and allows his service to go beyond the limit? A Muslim.
Naam. Prophet Allah SWT said, whatever I order you to do, do it to the best of your ability. Whatever I ask you to go away from, go away from it. Now, whatever I order you to do, the order of the Prophet Allah SWT are of two types. Or it's of two types. It may be what? Wajib. It may be mustahab. So if the Prophet Allah SWT order you to do things, you do it to the best of your ability. Make sure you take care of the wajib. The mustahab, you may do to the best of your ability. But when you ask you to go away from something, whether it is makruh or haram, go away from it. Don't say, this one is makruh. It's not haram, it's makruh. Does makruh mean you can do it? Makruh means what? You should also avoid it. So there is a difference between makruh and mubah. So makruh, haram, both of them, go away from. Wajib and mustahab, do the wajib, the mustahab, do as much as you can do. So that is the meaning of that hadith. Now, if you say, that is what I can do, my ability. Now, keeping gears, Prophet Allah said, what firuli haqib is command of the Prophet Allah. Is it mustahab or wajib?
Wajib.
If you say mustahab, how do you know it's mustahab? If you say wajib, yes, it is wajib. Because the order of the Prophet Allah should be understood as what? Wajib. Except if you see a text, maybe trying to soften that thing. So, there is no text softening it, so it is wajib to do it. Now, if you now say, you have said that I should do it to the best of my ability, then the one who doesn't pray at all will say, this is the level I can go, I can't pray. That is the level of my ability. The one who doesn't fast will say, that is what? The level of my ability. And everybody will be what? Will be holding on to that hadith of the Prophet Allah. But the meaning of that is not that. The meaning is that for to minimum to start, do what you can do, that Allah himself knows that this is what the level you can go. For instance, now Allah made Hajj compulsory on us. Do you have money to go on Hajj? You don't have, but it is compulsory to do Hajj, but you don't have money. So the level you can do is that what you do some other things that you are able to do. You don't have money for Hajj, so pay zakat is compulsory. Do you have money to pay zakat now? So for those who have money to pay zakat, they pay zakat. So fatu minu mastata'tum is this that is referring to. What Allah knows that this is what your ability. Not that what you feel is your ability. Allahu a'lam.
There is this important question. I'm sorry, Maria Ferreti Aparabale, but because it's concerned to. The questioner asks, can I disobey my mother? You know, disobedience to our parents is next in ranking when we are talking of things. Can I disobey my mother if she said I should not marry a particular person? Can I disobey her?
Now, as our brother has said, that disobeying our parents is something that is grave in the sight of Allah. But if our parents ask us to do kufr or shirk, we disobey them. Allah says, وَصَحِبُ أُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. He said, وَإِنْ جَاءَدَكَ لَا تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. If they try to encourage you to do shirk, don't follow them. وَصَحِبُ أُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But still be nice to them. Still be nice to them, but don't follow them. What if they ask us to do things that are acts of sin, though not shirk? Should we follow them? The answer to that is also no. Prophet Allah said, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. You don't follow a creation of Allah. Why you not disobey Allah? Now, your mother or your father say, don't marry this particular lady. Who is your father? Who is your mother? Is your father a pious man? Is your mother a pious woman? If yes, why not take to her advice? He or she may have seen an evil in that person that she asked you not to marry. She knows better, he knows better. But if your father or your mother say, don't marry this person, not because of anything, maybe because of tribalism, or because of this guy is putting, you making use of hijab and things like that, maybe because of one thing or the other that has nothing to do with the deen. In this case, you don't have to obey them in this. Wallahu a'lam.
Can we fold our clothes while on salah? While we are praying, can we fold our clothes? Is that the question? Or can we pray with folded clothes?
Why are we folding the clothes?
The questions are two different. While praying, can we be folding our clothes, or can we pray with folded clothes? Which of the two?
Both of the two. Why are you folding? You know, some people they fold their garments because they hear the hadith that a man did his vow and he prayed, and the Prophet Allah said that Allah will not accept the salat of a Muslim. The hadith is in Abu Dawud, but it's not authentic. So some people, because of that, they will fold their garment, trying to run away from their salat not being accepted. But the hadith is not authentic, as I've said. What is authentic, also in Abu Dawud, is that the Prophet Allah said, the one who prays while he's doing his bal, his salat is not in hil and it's not in hurma. That is, what he's doing is not halal, and it's not somebody of importance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith is authentic, is also in Abu Dawud. Now, we should not fold our garments when we are praying. Because the Prophet said, إِنِّي نُهِيتُ أَنْ أَكُفَّ ثَوْبًا أَوْ شَعْرًا. I'm forbidden to fold my hair or my garment. So based on this, it is not allowed for one to fold one's garment because you want to go into salat. But the one who has done this turn up, that's how his trousers have been sewn, then there is nothing wrong in this, because it's not doing it because of the salat. So this does not... But the one who is doing it because of salat, or is doing it because he doesn't want the sleeve of his garment to get stained, so he pulls the sleeve so that it will not be stained. You know, people avoid things like that. That was what the Prophet was referring to when he said, "Inni nuhitu an akuffa thawban aw sha'ran," that I'm forbidden to fold my hair. Because the Arabs, they have long hair. So when they are in prostration, they will not like their hair to be touching the sand or the floor. Or particularly the sand, because during time of the Prophet Allah, they will pray on sand like that. So he considered that to be, you know, a stain to his hair. So they now pack the hair before they go into salat. Maybe after the salat, they undo it. Prophet Allah said, "I'm forbidden to do such." So when you are going to salat, go into salat while your hair is not what? Packed like that. But if your hair, if you pack your hair before salat, there is nothing wrong. But if you pack it because you don't want your hair to get changed, then it is wrong. Likewise, the one who is praying, because if they want to go down, they will not pack the garment like this, so that their garment will not be touching the floor. So that is the reason why the Prophet Allah said, "I'm forbidden to do that." Allah Allah.
What is the Islamic stance? The Islamic stance on praying in a mosque, the compound of which has grave in it. There is a grave in that compound, and the mosque in the compound of the mosque.
What is the stance of Islam?
It depends. If the mouth has been established there because of the grave, because of the personality of the person in that grave, and people are now going to that place to preach, that is shirk. But if they are just praying there, not because of the grave, it is makruha, it is detested to pray in such a place. If the intention is not because of the person that has been buried there, then if the grave is in front, is in the Qibla, then it is haram to pray there. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تصلوا إلى القبور ولا تجلسوا عليها. Don't pray facing the grave and don't sit on it. So this is what forbidden. والنهي يقتضي التحريم. And if there is forbidden in the deen, it means that thing is haram. Is that clear? But if the grave is maybe towards the left, right, or back, it is detested to pray in such a place, according to the opinion of the majority of the scholars. As for the Hanabila, their position is that it is even haram to pray in such a place. Wallahu a'lam.
Those of us that live in our house, there is a field, and how can we pray in that house?
You pray if there is no other alternative. You are not praying because of the person in that place. Eh? So you can still pray. It is makru to not situate a mosque there. But if that is common in that area and you don't have other alternatives, fattakullah mastata'tum.
Now, there are so many questions, but the fact remains that we can't adjust all. And I've tried to take some that bears some significance, most especially relating to the topic and relating to our pressing needs. Please. I initially said I will not answer a question that is not numbered. But I discovered some are not numbered and they are very, very pressing. So I've done that. Please, for Allah's sake, if your question is not answered, do not take me. And if you like, take me. But it is better for you not to take me, because I put you into consideration. And likewise, our guest speaker, he has been speaking for long. You should know we are human beings. We just must take a rest. I will round it all with this. Madam, if you said that, how is it possible for us? How can it be possible for us for us in this century to be like those in the time of the Prophet? How can it be? You want to look like the Salaf?
If you cannot be like them, you try to be like them. So the way you can try to be like them is for us to follow the way they follow. As far as religion is concerned, we are not talking about worldly things now, but religiously, we try to emulate them so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us the way He is in peace with them. So this is just briefly what the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, the verse in Surah Al-Nisa, it's telling us in the verse in Surah Tawbah, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا. That is in Baqarah. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكُمُ اللَّهُ وَالسَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. In Surah An-Nisa, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِي جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. The verse in Surah Tawbah, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين تبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. So if you ponder upon these three verses and some other verses like that, you see that the way out for us is to practice our religion the way they practice theirs. We will not be able to observe as many nawafil as they do, but we should not introduce bid'a into the deen, just as they did not introduce bid'a into the deen. So we should not introduce any strange akida into the deen, just as they did not introduce any strange akida. So this is what you are talking about. Not that if you have the one who use 10 or 5 or 6 hours observing tahajjud at night, then we must also we must also observe Hajj 5 hours, 10 hours. We are not talking about this. Because only the companions, their ibadah, length of their ibadah vary from one person to another. Some of them will observe their witr before they go to bed. Some of them will wake up in the middle of the night. Some of them will wake up at the last part of the night. So their ibadah also varies. And they're all working in the sunnah. So this is what you are talking about, that we emulate them by not introducing what is not part of the deen into the deen. Wallahu a'lam.
Now, I have a question. We are taking usul sunnah. I want you to answer it. Have we exhausted it?
No. At all.
No. The reason why I have asked this is this. The Yoruba, they did say, of Olaki, you know the implication. You know the last part of the adage. Please, for last week, whenever we organize programs for us, you should know that we do not consider ourselves alone when we organize this program. We are organizing it for you. Just look at the last wordings in the something that was stated in your mouth concerning the special weekend. It was like equipping you to become a better Muslim. Please, get note of this. I know that you have not adjusted the book. And it may still take more than one of these, before it is adjusted. But this is the absolute, the basis, the fundamentals of our deen. Such that if you fail to know it, please, you may be doing things and in the end of the day, وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يَحْسِنُونَ صُنَعًا. You will think you have done good before Allah, and it is nothing. It is nothing. If you do not understand things that are fundamental about your deen, in Kazakhstan for your money, then you are wasting your time in the deen. Please, for Allah's sake, I hope time will permit us, when I say permit us, in this tenure, to continue on this thing, on this but you know, the time is so tight, our schedule is so tight that anything from now, 2 weeks to this time, everybody will be running for exam, we'll be preparing for exam, you know that. But I don't know if Allah permits us, or the generation that will come after us, that Allah guides them towards a continuity on this. Yes. He said, for the little time, like that alone. So inshallah, may Allah assist us. So I call on the scholar, he gives us a suspension to her. But before then, tomorrow morning we'll be having the last part of this weekend, inshallah, at our hall. But this is specifically and specially made for our sisters. Brothers are not to be there. Well, you're asking the time. I will tell you the time because I know some of you have some courses you take at AWO. AWO 221 and EDR 321. Because we have a sister here. So just inform her that, Sister Abdatullah, please, there is this program going on in AWO Hall. AWO Hall Mosque. Okay, that is the essence of